started, want to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Hurricane Research Advisory Committee meeting of August 3rd, 2020. A few sort of procedural things. It helps if you keep your computer's icon muted, which would be a red with a slash in it. When you're not speaking, be aware of background noise, how it amplifies, or any side conversations, which can be very disruptive. And don't forget to unmute yourself when you need to speak. State your name when you do speak, and when making motions, state your name for the maker and the second. I'll call on everybody in turn. Everybody will have an opportunity who wants to comment, but please wait until you're called upon to do so. After we get the meeting set up, I'll talk about the process that we're going to use today so that everybody understands it. So that's the first order of business. Next is to determine that we have a quorum. Commissioner Schock, are you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Very good. Sergio Ascunce.
I'm here.
Joe Belcher.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Ann Cope.
Hey, Jeff Eric Stafford's here as her alternate.
Okay, Eric's here for Ann. Very good. Mark Nicholson.
Here.
Craig Perino.
Here.
John Plisich.
Here.
We heard that Angela Shadle will not be on the call due to an emergency situation. Commissioner Schiffer, Brad.
I'm on.
Jeffrey Schnellman.
Here.
Vince Sejas.
Here.
Commissioner Swope, Brian.
Here.
All right, so we have 12 of 13 members, all but Angela, who let us know last night that she wouldn't be on the call, so that's good. Okay, we have a quorum, and then in attendance we have Tom Campbell, Mo Madani, Justin Vogel, Chris Howell, Jim Hammers, and myself, Jeff Blair. I believe that's all of our staff in present from DBPR for this project. Chris, hopefully, I'm sure you've already started the mic, so I won't go further into that. All right, well, today's agenda is basically simple, and I'll explain the process in just a couple minutes, but basically the goal is to prioritize the five research projects that have been proposed for funding, and we have a process to do that, and in the end, the rankings will be reflected in the results of the exercise, which will go to the commission. And that's all we're here to do today is to rank first, determine that the five projects meet the requirements or the criteria, which I'll explain in a minute as well. And then those that do, if it's all five, then we rank them, and then those go to the commission. And tomorrow, the commission will take up your recommendations. And that's the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as it was posted, please, by name?
Michelson, approve.
Schiffer, second.
We have Michelson and Schiffer, respectively. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay, you received electronic, or, you know, they've been posted electronically, linked to this agenda. The July 28th, 2020 meeting minutes. Is there a motion, unless there's any revisions or corrections? If not, is there a motion to accept the meeting minutes of the July 28th meeting?
Michelson, move to accept.
Stafford, second.
Motion to second. Is there any discussion on the motion? No discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Tom, if you wouldn't mind showing the document, which is, you know, kind of has the process and the criteria listed. So what I'll do is I'm going to review the process with you, then turn it to Mo to give us some additional information, and then we'll go through in order as we need to. All right. So what happened here? There we go. Okay, so this is the process that we have used over the years and we'll use for this meeting. So the first order of business is, there's five research projects that have been proposed for funding. And the goal will be to first determine whether those projects meet the criteria for funding. At the very top of that sheet, if you would, right there, perfect, you got it. First of all, does it meet the definition of research and or technical enrichment, which Mo has reviewed with us at each meeting, and it's also available, on the document, A. And then is it within the scope of hurricane resistance research, primarily related to wind and water resistance? And is it needed or urgent for, either the 2020 code or for future code development? And if the answer to that question is yes, that you think this meets the primary criteria, we're going to do a straw poll, and I'm going to ask each person yes or no, yes or no. And if we have 75% or more of you who say it's a yes, then that project will move on to the next piece, the next phase of this. So once we make the first cut, okay, do all these projects make meet it or not? And if they do, we go to the next phase. The next phase is in turn, each PI will have 5 minutes and exactly 5 minutes, no more, to provide a brief overview. Each of you have already presented your proposals in detail at previous meetings, and folks have had time to think these through. Just give us sort of a quick 5 minute overview. You could, and then I'll ask the committee if they have any additional questions. We'll do all five projects so that you have a sense of what they are. And then we're going to conduct a ranking exercise. You're going to rank each one of these projects on a 10-point scale. You're not trying to necessarily rank one against the other. You're going to rank each one on its own merits on a 10-point to a 1-point scale. And Tom, if you would, let's see, get off my screen. If you could just scroll to the next page, there's this 10-point scale. The highest priority, you give it a 10, all the way down to, it's such a low priority that, you don't even think the project should be funded, would be a one. So we'll do each of those in turn, and I'm going to ask you by name, I'm going to go alphabetically except for Commissioner Schock. Commissioner Schock, what do you give project one? Whatever number he gives, I'll tally those. I'll tell Tom to tally for each of those. He'll import those into an Excel spreadsheet, and we'll do that for all five, and it'll give us the raw score and the overall rank on 1 to 5 for the five projects. Now, what that means is that the commission, that you are recommending that the commission fund these projects in the following order. If there's a sufficient funding, first project number one is funded, then project number two is funded, and then if there's only enough for the first two, then throughout the year, staff will monitor that. Additional funding may or may not become available, and the next project in line when funding is available will also be funded in that sequence. And then, of course, Mo and his staff will be the ones who will work with the PIs on final scoping, final budgets, administration of the contract, and all of those items. That's the basic process that we will use. When we're done with that, those will be submitted to the commission tomorrow as your recommendation for the funding priority order. That's the basic process, and as we go through each one, I'll explain in more detail as needed. Does any committee member have any questions about the process before we get started?
Vince Hayes here. I have a question or comment regarding some of these projects. Like one and two are the same facility, and one of them already has funding. Are any of these study groups available to talk about maybe consolidating some of their studies, because there's only $400,000 available? They got to understand something's not going to get funded.
This is Mo Madani. I think at this point we'll take them one by one. Ultimately, if this project is to be selected, then we can look at the consolidation. But at this point, I would take them individually, evaluating each one at its own merit at this point.
Right. I agree, Philly. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, Eric Stafford's got a question. So just to be clear, so the research, the ranking exercise link that's on the website, seems to indicate there's only about $200,000 available for funding of these five we're going to rank. So you don't want us taking that into consideration? Because, for example, if you're ranking one and two, that's going to exceed the amount of money if we had one and two as, you know, our highest ranked, just for example. But there's no way that both of those can get funded. So are we not to consider that? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, not to consider that at this time. Staff will take care of that component of it and work with the PIs and determine whether there is any other funding or whether, you know, when, at what point during the fiscal year it can be funded. So just because there isn't the fund today, it doesn't mean there won't be in a month or 2 months. And, you know, depending on hurricane season and whether we need to use some of those funds, additional funding becomes available. So staff will continue to fund them in the prioritized order based on what is or will become available. Tom or Mo, if you want to elaborate on that, feel free.
Yeah, this is Mo Madonna. I think I agree with Jeff. At this point, you know, putting the funds aside, we need to know which projects that are really a priority. And then as we move forward, as Jeff said, you know, funds will become available in the future. As, you know, as become available, then we can fund those projects that pointed out as a priority. So I would, again, I would not really focus on the funds available and which project needs to be funded or not. That should not be a factor at this point.
Right. Yep, we've learned our lesson over the years. Yes.
Mark Michelson, with a question for you and Mo and Tom. Is there anything that has come from previous MAP reports or other reports that would help the committee in terms of priorities from those analyses?
Any questions about any of the project with regard to prior work, I'll be glad to, you know, speak on that if you feel like it's got. That's, for example, the WinSpeed line map web viewer. We just completed a project on which provided technical assistance to local jurisdiction to be able to show the local WinSpeed map for their county using geographic information or delineated through specific landmark and all that. So we have done that project. And this is kind of, you know, built on that. So yeah, some of this project was, you know, done in, for example, the project and with regard to, you know, updating the statewide extreme rainfall projection. We did a project on that. It was done in 2 years ago under the 2017-2018 plan, where we looked at mainly updating the rainfall projections for Miami-Dade County, which is as a demonstration project. And this project will build on that and will apply what we did for Miami-Dade to a statewide application. So some of these, So, yeah, I think as we go forward and as you debate and discuss this project, if there's any background information available, I would be glad to really speak on it. And
so, Mo, what would be helpful is when we get to each one, why don't you, you know, before you can make a few comments before the PI to kind of lay out whether this is a follow-up project, that kind of thing, to kind of help us out as we go through.
Sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But the one thing, just in case there's a subtext to the question, is the only five projects for consideration are the five that were submitted. That's the process that we've used. You have to have a specific project that meets the definition of research. You have to have a principal investigator, and you have to have a funding estimate, and then you have to submit it according to the timeline. So the only five projects under consideration for this funding cycle are the five on the table. Okay, any other questions or comments from the committee before we start? Clarifications? Okay, then, Mo, do you want to say something before I ask them to go through and determine whether these five first meet the criteria for funding?
Well, one thing I wanted to really to bring to your attention that there is on the agenda, we there is a busting for the work plan, research work plan, which is really, it tells you, you know, what we mean by research, which we talked about, you know, last meeting. What's the technical enrichment? You know, you want to look at the project and say, well, does this fall under research? Does this fall under a technical enrichment? And then you have before you also the timeline. You know, just to let you know that, you know, August 3rd, you guys reviewing this and writing them for the commission on August 4th. Will be where the commission will select the, you know, the project that will be funded. And then, as you see, the timelines for, getting the contracts going with the principal investigator for the project and then completing the project for June 15th. So that's really, that's the work plan that, we've been working on. Otherwise, go ahead, take it from here, and we'll see what.
Okay, thank you, Mo.
Can do. Thanks.
All right. So before we do a ranking, and before we hear from the PIs, what we want to do is take the first cut. So Tom, if you go back to that other document, and go to the page before that, the first page, right there, right at the bottom there, it's a simple yes/no question. You're not deciding whether you like or dislike the project or think it's number one or number 10. The question that you're here to answer first is, does this project meet the criteria for funding? Does it meet a definition for research or technical enrichment? Is it within the scope of hurricane resistance research? And is it needed, you know, something that's important that should be done, you know, for potentially current or in this case would be for the 2023 code. But the primary thing, is it within the scope of the research for hurricane resistance research, which is what the commission has decided is what will be looked at, and does it meet the definition of research or technical enrichment? And I'm just going to ask you yes or no and keep track of the answers, and then that'll tell us. If you have 75% say yes, then we know that one's going to be going to the next phase, which will be we'll hear from the PIs, and then we'll rank them after we're done with all that. Okay, Commissioner Schock, does research project number one meet the definition of research?
Yes.
Sergio? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Joe Belcher?
Yes.
Okay. Commissioner Compton?
Yes.
Eric Stafford?
Yes.
Okay. Mark Michelson?
Yes.
Craig Perino?
Yes.
John Plisich?
Yes.
Brad Schiffer?
Yes.
Jeffrey Schnellman?
Yes.
Okay. Vince Sejas?
Yes.
And Brian Swope?
Yes.
All right, all 12 voted yes, so clearly that one goes to phase to the next step. Number two is wind-induced loads on roof overhangs. Commissioner Schock, yes or no?
Yes.
Sergio?
Yes.
Joe?
No. I'm sorry, yes.
Okay. Commissioner Compton, Dave?
Yes.
All right. Eric Stafford?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Brad?
Yes.
Jeffrey?
Yes.
All right. Vince?
Yes.
And Brian? If 12 of 12, so the answer is yes. Updating the statewide extreme rainfall projections. Commissioner Schock, Jim?
Yes.
Sergio?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yeah.
Craig?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Brad?
Yes.
Jeffrey?
Yes.
All right, yes. Vince?
Yes.
And Brian?
Yes.
12 of 12. So projects 1, 2, and 3 are moving forward to the next round. Appendix, the optional enhanced construction techniques for, you know, inclusion as a potential inclusion as an appendix. Commissioner Schock.
Technical enrichment, yes.
Okay. Sergio.
Yes.
Joe.
No.
Okay. Commissioner Compton.
Yes.
Right. Eric Stafford.
Yes. Hey, Jeff. Real yes. quickly, I wasn't sure where I needed to mention this, but I just want to disclose that I've been listed as a consultant on this particular project.
Okay. I would defer to our legal, but it may be that you should recuse yourself. But I'm going to let Justin or Tom weigh in on that.
This is Justin Vogel. Mr. Stafford has a direct financial interest, then he just he would need to abstain in that particular, for that project, any discussion on it.
Okay. Then I abstain.
Okay. Very good. All right. Mark?
No.
Okay. Craig?
No.
John?
Yes.
Okay. Brad?
Yes.
Jeffrey?
No.
Vince?
Yes.
And Brian?
No.
Okay, so that project has 6 and 4, so 6 and 5, 6 yeses, 5 noes, 1 abstention. Therefore, it does not go to the next round. We do have a provision, and I'll circle back to that. If the PI wishes to have 3 minutes to address to the TAC why they believe it does, I mean, to the committee, they can. And then if that changes anybody's mind, then we'll go from there. Otherwise, that will conclude that. But we'll circle back to that in a moment. All right, the fifth project is the Windspeed Line Map Web Viewer project. Commissioner Schock?
No.
Okay. Sergio?
Yes.
Joe Belcher? Joe?
Yes.
All right. Dave Compton, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. Eric Stafford?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mark?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Brad?
Yes.
Okay. Jeffrey?
Yes.
Vince?
Yes.
And Brian?
Yes.
All right. That's 11 in favor and 1 not, so that project goes. So projects 1, 2, 3, and 5 advance to the next round. Now, project number 4 is appendix with optional enhanced construction techniques. If the PIs would like 3 minutes, and I'm going to time it, to make their case as to why you think it does meet the requirements, you may do so. Does anybody wish to do that from the from that project?
Yes, we do. Thank you.
Sure. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, this project is specifically designed to provide technical enrichment and focuses on hurricane resistance, specifically as it takes a previously funded project that was carried out by University of Florida and is directly applies to improving the codes and providing optional methods for improving the codes. It is also specific to a past recent legislation that focuses on directing communities to their coastal element in their comp plans to come up with principles, strategies, and engineering solutions to reduce flood risk in coastal areas. So it meets the intent of Senate Bill 1094 for 2015, and that's embodied in the Florida statutes 163.3178 2, subparagraph F. It also supports the recent Senate Bill 178 in 2020 that establishes that public entities that utilize state funds develop sea level impact plans for construction projects. So this really goes hand in hand with the state's overall objectives to try to improve flood, wind, and storm surge resilience in construction projects. It's something that we want to make optional, and communities can strengthen their existing regulations if they wish by adopting some of these optional design criteria that would go into an appendix in the building code as optional. And it would have to go through that full process of review before it could go in the code. So all of the details will be fleshed out once this project is funded. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, does any committee member wish to ask any questions of the PI? And if not, wish to change their vote on whether it meets this or not? Committee members? Anybody? Okay. Well, I guess, sorry, Steve, I guess the committee hasn't changed their mind, but thank you for the submittal, and thank you for, explaining it.
Great, and thank you for considering it all. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, then we're going to go to each in turn. So here's what we'll do. I'm going to ask first from FIU, either David or Amil, whoever will do that. You have 5 minutes, and it will be time to kind of give an overview. I'll ask if committee members have any comments. We're going to go through and do the four projects like that. Then I'm going to ask if anybody from the public wishes to comment, take the public comment, and then we're going to go back and just conduct the ranking exercise on project 1, 2, 3, and 5. That's the process. So we'll hear from all five PIs first. We'll hear public comment, and then we'll conduct the ranking exercises to determine the recommended priority for funding. All right, so first is wind loading on elevated residential structures, FIUF. Who from the team is going to do the 5-minute presentation?
Good morning, Jeff. This is David Privat. If Professor Elawadi is on board, I will defer to her.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm here. Yeah. Great. This is Paul here. Good morning.
You ready to start?
Yep. Just wondering if it's required to share the screen or just discuss it.
If you have something you wish to show, I think it's fine, right, Tom?
This is Mo Madani. I think it's fine as long as it's not going to eat up more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm real strict on the time. You have exactly 5 minutes, so just keep that in mind. It's up to you.
Sure. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, can help me explain the project very quick in 5 minutes.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get it up. I won't start the time until we get your screen up.
Okay. Can you please allow me to share? Yep.
Dan,
the organizer needs to make me the presenter, I think.
Yes.
Tom will do that.
Jim should be able to do it. He has it back.
Okay. Jim, are you able to transfer the power to share the screen?
All right, let me see here.
There we are. Who does it need to go to again? I was muted.
I got it. I got her.
That's who I sent it to, but...
Okay, thank you.
That's who I sent it to.
There we go.
Okay, sounds great. All right, so good morning, everyone. This is Amal Lawadi. I'm here in 5 minutes presenting on behalf of Dr. Privat and myself, and also Ibrahim, my PhD student. The project is focused on understanding the wind flow and the aerodynamics of elevated structures. Basically, there's nothing available in the design code or the building code about this elevated type of structures, which are available in the coastline and most of the coastal communities in Florida and other states. The idea is that we understand and we have guidelines with regard to the slab-on-grade structures, like the one here on the left. But once we elevate the structures to mitigate the flooding hazard, we don't know how the wind flow is changing and how the increase in the wind speed is affecting the total wind actions on the structure. Moreover, some of the owners just add blockage underneath this elevated structure, which is the one here that you see on the right. The blockage is a storage, and it's widely used in Florida, and it's proven to show like different failures. We've observed that during the last hurricane Irma and Michael here in Florida. So the project started a few years ago, funded by DM and currently funded by Florida's grant. The main focus was to understand how the underside floor is affected by this. We've noticed a severe suction on the flooring, and we tried to understand how we can relate that to the current pressure coefficient guidelines provided by AC7. Understanding means that we need to understand if we can propose like zoning criteria, so researcher and designers can use to calculate the pressure coefficient and to calculate the wind actions on the floor. So for us to understand the zoning, we need to do like a parametric study to understand how the wind action is varying with respect to the configuration of the structure, the dimensions. So we tested like one-story building and also a two-story buildings so far at the Wall of Wind. And we compared that to for all the surface, roof and walls and floor. So for the roof and the floor, we were able to compare that to the ACE CP values. That's for the roof and the walls. However, for the flooring, we need to propose something. And to propose something, we need to conduct like a wide or extensive parametric study. This is what we are doing now. The project is, as I said, initiated by DEM and now is funded by Florida Sea Grants. So the total, the whole idea behind this proposal is to leverage the investment that is provided by DEM and Sea Grant to understand what is missing, which is basically the partially elevated structures. Partially elevated structures are the most commonly used configurations in Florida coastline. The idea is to leverage this investment by adding this blockage and try to understand the wind flow surrounding the surfaces of this structure. So basically, we propose to put a blockage of like 20%, 40%, and 50% of the total footprint of the area under this structure, which is already gonna be built for Florida Sea Grant funding. So we're gonna add like this minimal kind of room here, and then test for an open terrain, use a larger scale structure 1-5. And then estimate the pressure coefficient and the total loading on the pile, the stills of the house, and compare that to what we got already for a fully elevated structure, what we got already with respect to the projects funded by DM and Florida Sea Grant. And then
you have 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay. And then try to compare that to what is available in ACE for the roof and the walls and propose design guidelines eventually. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job on time too.
Thank you.
Does any committee member have any questions they'd like to ask before we go to the next one?
I'm sure with a question.
Go ahead, Joe.
Is there any data, any indication, anything that we've seen in all our past match reports and all the other investigations indicating there's a failure at that level, at the floor level, on an elevated structure. I have seen a number of those structures where there's damage, but I haven't seen it. It looks like it's coming or started at the floor. There is data. I heard
data, and statistical data, you said? Like how many failures or?
Yeah, is this a big problem is what I'm asking. I mean, I've not witnessed it in my investigation, but I'm just asking, is it a big problem? I know there are a couple of people involved in this call that make pre-event investigations. Is there a big failure rate from the floor on an elevated structure?
Yes, from what we surveyed after Irma, for example, I was involved in that reconnaissance effort. We surveyed 400 elevated structures. More than 380 were affected, varying from like a partial collapse to a total collapse. Is that answer the question?
There's a severe echo there. I couldn't quite catch that, but it sounded like you said there were a lot from Irma. Was that water or was that wind?
Not only water. Water was a factor. Water was a factor, and also wind, because it affects the cladding of the walls, the roof, and also the floor. So it's not just water. It's also wind.
So Joe, she had mentioned there was about 380 out of 400 structures investigated had damage.
Wind damage.
Yes. I'm sorry for the noise in the background.
Yeah, that's very difficult to understand you because there's a big roar when you start talking. So.
Okay, David, can you please take over here because I have a noise in the background in the street. I'm sorry.
Hello. Yes, Joe. This is Dave here. I'll take over. Can you repeat that question again, please?
Is the damage we're seeing on the floor, the outer floor on an elevated structure, wind? She mentioned the 300 and some that were damaged in Irma. Was that wind or was that water, sir? I mean, Irma was not a big windstorm. So this is wind research I'm taking. I didn't see anything on there about the surge or anything.
Absolutely. In our report 2017 on Hurricane Irma, looking at the Monroe County houses, we separated some that were storm surge, but the majority that we saw there when there was actually a failure of the underside or ceiling, if you will, from around the perimeters, and it is wind damage.
Okay, and it was a ceiling over a like an elevated storage area. I mean, we're talking about an elevated structure.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Whatever on the side of that things is actually sucked off the framing, and what we have seen in the existing research that there is a higher suction around the perimeters. It is in the perimeter location that we were seeing those failures. And so that is in the existing report that you can check.
Thank you.
All right, any other committee members have any questions?
Vince here, I have a question. The Sea Grant study, is there an opportunity here for some, efficiency as far as using the same models and just adding the blocking to those models for a consistency or some kind of savings?
That's actually the whole idea behind it. Yeah, we're trying to leverage the same model and by adding the blockage so that we can kind of save money of rebuilding a whole new model.
Okay, because I see that with your next study as well at the same cost, and I'm wondering if there's some way to streamline it. That was my only comment.
This is they're two separate studies, and they. The idea here was we saw the opportunity because Sea Grant and FDEM had supported the large part of the capital work to build this. What we're focusing on is just developing the small models to represent the blockages and utilize all the instrumentation over the entire building that has already been paid for.
All right, any other committee members have any questions or comments?
Hey, Jeff, Eric Stafford.
Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, David. Kind of two questions. One, are you primarily looking at the loads on underneath the floor? I mean, the proposal seemed to indicate otherwise, but the discussion keeps centering around the damage to the ceiling, I guess, on the under.
So essentially the idea is just like any other rough body study. We think, or we hypothesize that if you change the bluff structure of the body, you're going to change the wind flow around the entire body. And so we want to look at how does just having this blockage change the effects on the walls, the roof, as well as the underside. So yes, we're looking at all the existing pressure taps, which would be on the whole study. We will be looking at those.
Okay.
If I can add to that, because I'm sorry. Because this will also allow us to compare to the current CP, provided by ACE, which is for the slab on grade ones.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if you're looking at just that ceiling, I mean, what's the real impact, for losing that part of the building?
So again, we're, by looking at, does this, in fact, does the blockage the question is open-ended at this point. Does the blockage raise or lower the pressure, the surface pressures and the overall loading on the structure? This is the question, because actually find it lowers it.
All right. That was my main question. Thank you, Dave.
Right. All right. Anybody else? Committee members?
And then just actually question, comment. A lot of those blockages typically are...
Who's talking? Oh, go ahead.
John Plissage.
Go ahead.
A lot of those blockages are typically breakaway walls and stuff of that nature, which are intended to break away. Anyway, the underside of the flooring, the damages that you saw and referenced for the hundreds of structures that you saw that were damaged, as far as, is that component cladding related and insulation and stuff of that nature? Or have you seen a lot of flooring based on the winds? Can you kind of describe a little bit more of the description of the damages that you're actually seeing with those hundreds that you related to for the underside of the structure, for the flooring, for instance, related to this research?
Yeah, but I probably would not have the time to go through that, but I can definitely point you to the Hurricane Irma final report that we submitted in 2018, and we can go into that offline. The idea that we're looking at breakaway walls is important, but once the walls are in place, they will affect the overall surface loads on everything as a bluff body, regardless.
No, I understand that. I guess it goes what Eric was saying. We're trying to establish what exactly the impacts are to this research and how much it would reduce future damages. I guess that's what we're really driving.
At this point, I would say I don't know. The reason for the research is that we have seen failures at the underside, that follow a pattern of higher wind loads that we have measured in the experimentally along the perimeters. So there is a hypothesis that it's wind caused damage. We have also suggested that any bluff body changes to the underside of a structure will change the loads over on the overall structure. This includes the components and cladding, as well as the overall loads on the piles. And we will be measuring the uplift on the piles as well as a result of this blockage.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other committee member before we move on?
Jeff, Sergio had a comment.
Go ahead, Sergio.
I know that the project, Dr. Pravat, is considering 3% blockage underneath the building. I would like for you to know that the largest enclosure usually is no more than 300 square feet. And I think it would be beneficial to know what effects the pressures have underneath the building at exactly 300, which is usually the limit of enclosure below the building. So I just wanted you to know that. And unless, of course, you feel that interpolation is possible between lower and higher percentage blockage underneath the building.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, sir. Understood. That could be taken into consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Committee members?
Schmellen, please.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I think that I have seen a number of buildings built in this manner where the 300 square feet is kind of in the center of the building, elevator shaft and stairway, as opposed to on the perimeter. If you could do it in that way, assuming the other members agree, I think that would be beneficial. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you for the notes, yeah.
All right, any other committee members? Okay, well, thank you both for your presentation. Let's move on now to the second project, wind-induced loads on roof overhangs. Ionis, are you on the phone? Would you like to have your 5 minutes to review the project?
Yeah, sure. I can use, I think, less than 5 minutes, so I'll give you a brief overview. Can you all hear me?
We can.
Good. So, starting with the relevance, I think we discussed in the last presentation, it is relevant to the Florida Building Code, Chapter 16 and Chapter 8, depending on the location. There are three tasks involved. We're going to do the literature survey. Then there is wind tunnel testing involved at the wall of wind. And finally, the analysis of the data and, most important aspect, the codification study. I will serve as the principal investigator, and I have also my collaborator, Dr. Ted Stathopoulos from Concordia University. So this project is about overhangs. You are all familiar with this type of this part of the structure, unenclosed continuation of the roof surface. Now the argument here is that in some parts of Florida, this can be more than what we are used to, the 6 feet or more, and supported on a terrace or a porch, and can extend even further than the 6 feet. So the ESC 716 states that I think the pressure on the bottom covering of the roof overhang is the external pressure coefficient of the wall surface, and that was the major change from the 2010 version, the ESC 710. So in these earlier versions, they consider the net effect, what is happening simultaneously from the top and bottom of the overhang, and that resulted in reduced load at the time. We have done research that is relevant on canopies here at Wall of Wind and in collaboration with Concordia University, Dr. Ted Stathopoulos, and that is what started this, research proposal. The example here is we call them canopies or patio covers, depending on where you are. They use different names, awnings. But we did a very detailed study on low-rise buildings back in 2010, I think. We used the data and we submitted a proposal to the ESC 716 code committee, and that now is included in the 716. And as we speak, we submitted a follow-up proposal for mid-rise buildings. So basically, we consider is that me?
I think so. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all right. We extended the study to mid-rise buildings and we submitted a new proposal which is under consideration for the 722. The advantage here is that we can use the wall of wind, which means that we can build larger model to test. That takes into account the actual thickness of the overhang or the canopy or the PV panel in general, like those like two-dimensional type of structures. And we can accommodate more pressure taps when we use a larger model. So that helped a lot with this type of study, and we think it's going to do the same for the roof overhangs to find the net effect and see how that compares to the assumption that the current version of the building code and the ASC 7 standard considers, which is the we use the underneath of the overhang, we use the wall pressures. So as I said before, there are three major tasks. We try to clarify how the pressure on the wall affect the overhang, and for that we can modify the length of the overhang. We're going to use a large model, we're going to incorporate more pressure taps, and we're going to respect the geometry of the actual overhang, followed by detailed data analysis and a codification study. And that's all. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. All right, committee members, any questions you'd like to ask? Okay. Thank you very much for your presentation, and we'll move on to our next project. Okay, so next is updating the statewide extreme rainfall projections. So, Jayanta, would you like to?
Yeah. Can you hear me, Mr. Blair?
Yes, we can hear you fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to speak and support. I did make a presentation in a previous meeting. Like Mr. Madani explained, this is actually a follow-up to a pilot study within Miami-Dade County, where we looked at both sea level rise and rainfall, and we made recommendations on changing extreme rainfall values for flood loads and rain loads on buildings, and made extensive recommendations for the building code. Why extreme rainfall is important? What is in the building code is quite dated, you know, going back to 1970s. They have not been updated, and you only need to look at, recent hurricane events like Harvey, Dorian, and Irma, and Michael, and others, you know, what kind of extreme rainfall we will have in the future. So this project, we are proposing to leverage the work we did in Miami-Dade County, but expand that to the entire state. And why this is important, that way we will have a unified rainfall projection data set that will go into the code, but also for other flood studies. And another reason is there was a recent Senate Bill 178 for requiring all the construction projects to use sea level rise, but in the analysis, they also identify rainfall intensity and frequency as an important component. So this will support several, perhaps, bills that are upcoming or what is on the books right now. And also in a recent floodplain managers conference, they were asking, why aren't you extending your Miami-Dade study to the entire state? So I believe that this will not only leverage the work we have already done, but we plan to collaborate with U.S. Geological Survey and the South Florida Water Management. They're trying to update the extreme rainfall as well. We will leverage that work to expand the same methodology and the data set to the entire state. They're only limiting their study to South Florida, and this is a wonderful opportunity. And I must commend the Florida Building Code to taking up this opportunity to change the code for future conditions and at least try to update the information from decades ago. We propose to have a technical workshop and also a web-based tool for presenting this rainfall data in a convenient manner. I have discussed the possibility of collaborating with University of Florida GeoPortal, which is shown in the number 5 project here. Possibly the web portal could be combined with their project to at least that portion of the study. So I believe this will help the people have already taken a lot of notice of what we had done in the Miami-Dade study. And I believe that this is the only way to make changes in the future buildings and infrastructure is to incorporate these future conditions into the building code. So I believe extreme rainfall is an important component for that effort. And that's all what I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you very much. So committee members, do you have any questions or comments that you'd like to address to our principal investigator for this project?
Vince, yes, I have a comment.
Go ahead, Vince.
Based on the previous one, this study did galvanize or trigger some municipalities, at least in the Miami-Dade area, to really look at their ordinances and their local floodplain ordinance, and they've done some significant changes, the city of Miami, city of Miami Beach, and so on. The data, if you can combine it with that GIS and make it easier for the powers that be that take forever to make a decision actually realize the information, I think it would be more valuable than just a report with the raw data. And I see you're taking that step. Yeah, definitely. I like where you're going. If you could definitely add that visual to make it easier for people to understand and realize the difference on the dated maps, and perhaps leave something up where that data is more usable and available, I see a lot of technical improvement here and definitely benefit for the code and planners.
Great. All right. Any other committee members wish to ask a question or make a comment?
Yes, this is John Plissage. Just a question, I guess, and a comment. Can you kind of explain or list off some of the key organizations that are going to be involved in this effort and or in reviewing to make sure the data, the assumptions that you're making, all those kinds of things are reasonable? Can you kind of list off whether they're federal, state, what nonprofits, whatever, what key organizations are going to be involved with this?
Yes, I will. Thank you. The Florida International University will be the principal investigating team for the project. And but you know, as I mentioned before, we are also a reviewer and are supporting an ongoing project at the Water Management District, who is actually working with United States Geological Survey. So that's the federal agency. They're doing some work for the Water Management District. We collaborate technically on the method that should be used for future rainfall projection. You know, we are well aware of the uncertainties in climate information, but we will, through FIU, have a technical review panel, national level review panel, to make sure data used for the study at the Water Management District and our study are the best available data. So to list the agencies, it will be FIU, U.S. Geological Survey, the Florida Office, and also the South Florida Water Management District. They are doing their part. We will expand that study for the entire state. To respond to Mr. Sayers, I think our plan is also to have a web portal for this information, what I call actionable science on future rainfall, because all the projections indicate that the extreme rainfall will increase, particularly considering the increased frequency of rainfall in the future.
Okay. Any other committee members wish to comment or ask a question on this project? Okay. Well, thank you very much, Jayantha, and we'll appreciate it. Okay, we'll come to our fourth and final project, which is project number 5, the wind speed line map web viewer. And Catherine Norris from UF, are you on?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to quickly touch on this because I did go over this at the last meeting, so I'll be fresh in everyone's minds. But this is a proposal to create a statewide wind speed web map viewer for risk categories 1 through 4 wind speeds that appear in the Florida Building Code. As you guys are well aware, the risk category 4 wind speed maps have been updated for the state, and so those changes are coming into effect at the end of December. What I want to do now, really quickly, is talk about some of the concerns and questions that were brought up in a little bit more detail. Mr. Schock talked about how he was concerned about a statewide web viewer competing with a county's web viewer. And so I've done some thinking on that. And what we could do is we could create a countywide layer with hyperlinks to those specific counties that have their own web viewers, or basically create a redirect away and to the correct place if need be. There were questions about the DFIRM data options. Currently, I was suggesting we go with the yearly update, which is what DOT uses to make roadway improvements and planning. it's possible to possibly go to a quarterly update, or even to use the FEMA's dynamic web viewer data layer when you're zoomed in to, say, the parcel level, because my concern would be the speed of the web map viewer and it decreasing its functionality. But if we had it turned in at a lower level, say the parcel level or the county level, I don't think it would cause as much problems. And we could possibly use the yearly updated data set at a larger extent, larger than the county, larger than what you would be identifying on, just to kind of provide a view of information rather than an exact. There was a question about NOAA imagery and bringing that in. And I think that's something we could possibly do in a pilot area, depending on if there was a desire for that. The web viewers usually do have other types of imagery available, and so we could get into that if that was something that was requested. Another question was, could we bring shelters into the web viewer? And I can definitely get with the Florida Department of Emergency Management to get their latest statewide shelters data set if something like that is an interest. And then finally, we did have a very good talk with Obey to include the rainfall data in the web map viewer so that we could provide a visual for that data and support that data's ability to be downloaded and shared with the general public. I'm not sure if anybody has any questions, but I'm willing to take those.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right, committee members, any questions or comments that you'd like to ask?
Good talk. I have a comment.
Sure, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate her thought about bringing in local information. I think that's good. I do have a concern, however, on a perpetual cost project. You know, we've got a few of those going now, and it continuously drains what we can do in our research projects. And this is a project that would have to be updated all the time with LOMARs and LOMAs and those kind of things. So I do have a little bit of a concern in that area. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Other committee members, questions or comments?
Vince here. I just wanted to make a comment that I appreciate this, trying to synergize with other studies and the graphic representation. Now that we're all, you know, an immediate gratification society, we look at things, and if it's not on a map, it doesn't make sense to us, or with pretty colors. So I appreciate that. I look forward to seeing the results of the study. Thank you.
All right. Any other committee member?
Hi, Jeff. This is Mark. I got a question.
Sure. Go ahead, Mark.
So when it comes to understanding where the windborne debris regions are, which would then lead to opening protection, if this project were to go forward and be completed, and you mentioned that you would tie into local areas, how would that account for sometimes areas will adjust the windborne debris region to align with a highway or some marker that makes it a lot easier to understand from the local area? How would that be known as part of this project, if at all?
Well, we currently don't have a statewide line layer for the windborne debris region. I think that depending on how that is determined locally and based on local landmarks and parcel edges, we could do it based off of the edge of the parcel. There are some parcels that go out into the ocean. So how far out do we determine? What do we use as the shoreline? I think that there's a lot of questions with that. In those cases, I think it makes sense to defer to the counties because they're the ones making that specific call. If this was something that we wanted to look into, we could do that, and we could do a pilot on an area to determine, you know, how are we creating a line that matches what several counties are using? Is that the same? Is it different? But I think that's another question that would take more research time to determine.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any other committee member?
Hey, Jeff, this is Eric Stafford.
Sure.
Kind of follow-up to Mark's question, because I think, you know, the windborne debris line or area, or region is tied to wind speed lines. It's anywhere the wind speed is greater than 140. So wherever that wind speed line is established, I think that's what Mark was getting at. That's going to potentially conflict with some local requirements. And there's another level to it, you know, that proximity to the coast with a different wind speed, but the 140, you know, I mean, that's going to line up right with wherever that Webber point puts that line at. And it might conflict with some local amendments.
Thank you, Eric. That's where I was going.
Okay, thank you. Other committee members, any comments or questions? All right. Thank you, Kate. We'll now move on to the next phase. So I'm going to take public comment. If any member of the public wishes to comment on any of the four projects in play, I'll ask for your name, representation, and try to keep to about 3 minutes. Then we'll come back to the committee, and we'll conduct our ranking exercise of the four projects. All right, if anybody from the public wishes to comment first, just say your name, and I'll get a list. Okay. See, I guess we have no public comment. Then we'll come back to the committee. All right. So, Tom, if you wouldn't mind putting the spreadsheet up. And we'll do our ranking exercise. So what you're going to be doing is ranking each of these projects from 10 to 1. Again, you don't need to be concerned with rank one over the other. Just rank each one on whether you could give them all four 10s or all four 1s, depending. And that we'll let the score sort out based on the 12 voting members in terms of which one has the highest rating, 1, 2, 3, and 4. Tom, are you there?
Yes.
And can you put the spreadsheet up?
I did. You can't see it?
I don't. Do other people see it?
Yep.
All right. Well, let me see what happens here. Ah, well, there it is. It's underneath my other screen. Thanks, Tom. Sorry.
No problem. Okay.
Actually, the Excel spreadsheet would be a better one.
That's the one that's up and open. That's up and open.
Oh, okay, because the one I see is the other one. So somehow I'm not getting it. That's fine. It doesn't matter. Okay. The wind loading on elevated residential structures, I'm going to ask each of you in turn. Before we rank it, do you want to make any comments or statements, committee members? Feel free to, and then we'll rank it. Does anybody want to say anything before we do the exercise? Okay. In that case, let me just move this over here. And then
actually, I do. General, this is John Plisich. Just can we make general, or do you want just on this one particular project?
Go if you want. I mean, preference would be just on the one project, but if you want to make some general comment, I say go ahead and do it.
Okay, thank you. Just for the record, I think there's some very important research. Which would be beneficial to Florida that's not currently on this list. Just a few, even from the mitigation assessment team, in particular on ridge vents and another one on roof ballast. And I'm sure there are other research projects as well that would have far more impact on reducing damages in the state of Florida. So I would hope maybe the Florida Building Commission and researchers and universities would be able to pick up some of those projects in future years. So I just wanted to make that general comment. Thank you.
Sure. Any other committee member have anything they would like to say about this project before we rake it?
Hey, Jeff. Jeff, can you? Yes. Eric Stafford? Yeah, just to, I kind of like to echo what Bud just said. I mean, these are all, you know, or the worthy projects, but I think, you know, I would have personally liked to have seen, you know, some of the ones mentioned by John, some of the ones from the MAT report, maybe some others, that you get a lot more bang for your buck, I believe. And I don't know, you know, maybe this is something we talk about afterwards, but, I would like to see, you know, us potentially, you know, the advisory committee look at developing, you know, some priorities that can be posted where institutions can, can look and see kind of where the advisory committee is thinking some of the research should be. We'd like to see some of the research for these projects. Maybe we can talk about that afterwards, but I kind of agree with the comment Bud just made.
Sure, yeah, we can talk about it later, and it's probably a good thing to do to kind of determine what this committee thinks of the priorities for future funding, so what we can discuss, you know, setting that up for another meeting. Okay, anybody wish to say anything about the specific project, wind loading on elevated residential structures? Committee members, that is. Okay, I'm going to call you by a name. You're just going to give me a number, 10 through 1. On project number 1, Commissioner Schock.
5, and do you want a reason why we think a 5 or whatever?
Not. I would say it's up to you, Jim. I'm not going to say, I mean, it's up to you.
Well, I'd say a 5 because it primarily affects filed structures, which is not the greatest percentage of structures in the flood zone. So I think it's a good project. I think it's an important project, but I don't give it the highest priority.
Okay. All right, Sergio, what would you rank it?
8.
Okay. And Joe?
2.
All right. David, Commissioner Compton?
8.
Oops, I made a mistake. Sorry. Okay. Very good. Eric?
6.
6. Okay. Mark?
6.
Okay. Craig?
7.
All right. Bud?
5.
Okay. Brad?
7.
Jeffrey?
6.
Vince?
5.
And Brian?
6, please.
Let me just double check the math here. 4, 7, 9. Okay, so, Tom, we have 2 8s, 2 7s, 4 6s, 3 5s, and 1 12, and that equals 12 votes, so that should be accurate. And since I can't see that screen for whatever reason, I'm assuming that you have that okay, Tom?
Yeah, and it's a 5.91.
That's the raw score?
Yep.
Very good, thanks. Okay, let's go on to the wind-induced loads on roof overhangs. Any committee member wish to say anything before we rank it? Okay. Commissioner Schock, Jim.
7, and again, I think because it affects more properties and be a wide area to cover.
Okay. Then Sergio.
6.
All right. Joe.
9.
Okay. Eric. I'm sorry, David, Commissioner Compton, Dave.
I give it a 10.
Okay. Eric.
7.
All right. Mark.
7.
Craig.
9.
Bud.
6.
Okay. Brad.
9.
Okay. Jeffrey.
9.
Okay. Vince.
7.
Okay. And Brian.
8.
And 8. Okay, so we have 110, 4 9s, 18, 4 sevens, and 2 sixes, and that does tally to 12.
7.83.
Okay. All right. Updating the statewide extreme rainfall projections. Any committee member wish to make any comments? Okay. Then we'll go ahead and rank it. Commissioner Schock.
10. I think with today's climatic changing conditions, rainfall is really underestimated in the design phase.
Okay. Sergio.
10.
Okay. Joe Belcher. Joe.
9.
Okay. Commissioner Compton. Dave.
I give it an 8.
Okay. Eric Stafford.
5.
All right. Mark.
10.
Craig.
5.
Bud.
7.
Okay. Brad, Commissioner Schiffer.
8.
All right. Jeffrey.
10.
You said 10, correct?
10.
Okay, 10. Vince.
10.
Okay. And Commissioner Swope, Brian.
6. 6. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12.
Okay. Tom, we have 5 tens, 1 9, 2 8s, 1 7, 1 6, and 2 5s.
8.16.
Okay. All right, let's go to our last one, which is the wind speed line map web viewer. Anybody wish to make any comments or on that before we rate that one? Okay.
Belcher, I think this would be very helpful to not only jurisdictions, but also to builders and designers and users out in the field to have this data available. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah, Jeff, this is Mark. I think making sure there's some type of explanation or pilot or whatever related to what we discussed before, which is how the wind speed is tied to defining the windboard debris region and how to at least look at how that would be addressed tying into local municipalities' determination of that. I think that'd be an important thing to address.
Okay. Anybody else? You're welcome. Any other committee member? Okay, then Commissioner Schock.
3, and it's because I'm concerned about the continuous funding requirement that will be needed. I don't think the commission should do that. I think if they want that, the state should pay through it, taxpayer funding.
Okay, thank you, sir. Sergio.
5.
Joe.
9.
Commissioner Compton.
I'm going to go with a 9.
Okay. Eric Stafford. Eric?
Yeah, go with a 5.
Okay. Mark?
9.
Okay. And Craig?
9.
Okay. Bud?
7.
Okay. Brad, Commissioner Schiffer?
7.
7. Okay. Jeffrey?
7.
Okay. Vince?
I'm going to go with a 5.
Okay. And Commissioner Swift, Brian?
9.
A 9, okay. 5, 8, 5, 7, 10, right, 5, 6, 7. Okay, we have 12 picks. Okay, Tom, we have 5 9s, 3 7s, 3 5s, and 1 3.
Seven.
Sorry?
It's a straight up 7.
Straight up 7. Okay, so the number one priority is updating state extreme rainfall projections with an 8.16. The number two priority is wind-induced loads on roof overhangs with a 7.83. The number three priority is the wind speed line map wet viewer with 7.0. And then the number four priority is the wind loads on elevated residential structures with a 5.91. So that's the priorities. Project number three ranks one. Project number two ranks two, project number five ranks three, and project number one ranks four. Great, well, thank you for that. We will send these to the commission tomorrow for their discussion on approving these in that order. And then I think this would be a good time to talk about next steps. And I think one of the things that was mentioned was the committee in future, at a future meeting, sort of, and we've done this in the past with the HRAC back in the years ago, is to decide, you know, come up with what do you think are research priorities and get those out in advance so principal investigators can look at those and try to put together projects and funding, I mean, projects and proposals based on the relative priority of what you as a committee perceive as most important. So committee members, if you'd like to sort of discuss what you think, and Mo, do you want to say anything before we do that or anything like that?
I think clearly, what you said, Jeff, and what Tarek just mentioned, and it's a good idea, you know, to start, you know, for the future, for the next fiscal year, mainly, in terms of research project, come up with topical, specific project, just focus on the subject matter, and then after the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee decide which topics they want to go with first, then we can maybe funnel those to interested, institutions that may be interested in doing the research and come back with a scope of work. Yeah, I think it's a good idea to look at it from that standpoint, too.
Okay. And just as an aside, for about 12 years, I facilitated a statewide group that also had funding for research projects, and they did that, too. They evolved to the same thing. They decided to say, here's our five top topical issues, not specific projects, but what are key issue areas, and then when it came time for research proposal submittals, the principal investigators, you know, picked the top topics and put together research projects, and then it was discussed and ranked just like this. So I think that's an excellent thought. Committee members, would you like to discuss a little bit?
Well, sure.
Rashad here. I totally agree. I think that's the way to go. I think it's the timing that this committee was reinstituted and just didn't allow it this time, but I do think it needs to be done that way.
Thank you, Jim. Go ahead, Joe.
I agree. I think that's a good idea for us to look at. I think there were a number of projects, as I think the gentleman from FEMA mentioned, that were in the match report that would have been better projects for the money. And I think that some guidance to the folks out there putting the projects together would be helpful to them. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else, committee members?
Yeah, Jeff, this is Mark. I agree as well, too. It's kind of where I was going with my question before we started ranking projects, if there was, based on Matt reports, things that were a priority. I just didn't articulate it as well as Eric did. I think this is a great way to go forward. Another comment I would make, too, is if, as the projects get funded, if there's challenges that come up or a need to change the scope or expand the scope, is that something we want the PI to come back to this group with, or just simply report it to DCA staff, or how would we want to handle that?
Well, at this point, this is Mo Madani. I think based on project selected and all that, we will work closely with the PI and make sure that the funding fit the scope of work that you looked at. If there's any change, then we will let you know. But in general, normally we stick with what's already put together before you.
Okay. Thank you, Matt.
It's John Plisich.
Go ahead. Sure.
And I very much agree with a lot of the comments that were already made. Right now, it seems like the system is, you know, we get what we get. And then you fund whatever is the best of what you get. I think certainly it would be better, as what's already been discussed and what Eric brought up, is for the FBC, you know, it's the funding from Florida. You can drive much more of where it is you want the money to be spent by coming up with a system that says, hey, this is what we want research to be in A, B, C, D, E, F, whatever it is. You are more in the driver's seat. Right now, it's sort of more the PIs and the universities are in the driver's seat right now of what they are willing or wanting to research. I think FBC should be in the driver's seat as to what would be the best for Florida. So I think going in this route is a much better way overall strategically for the state of Florida and for the FBC.
Okay, great. Thanks, John. Committee members, anybody else?
Ben Sayas here. I would like to contribute one recommendation going forward, that any of the studies include an element of cost-benefit analysis for the recommendations made. If they're, you know, looking at a specific product or technique, what the benefit of that would be over not using it, et cetera, that helps clear up the confusion back and forth. Is this worthwhile? Is this a good decision to make? Should we incorporate this, et cetera? I think we've heard that over and over again as well. As long as we're maintaining our federal funding with the NFIP, and not stepping on anyone's toes, excessive recommendations, there should be a cost-benefit analysis. That's all I wanted to contribute.
Okay. Any other committee members?
This is Mongandani. I just wanted to inject on this. As you recall, these research projects normally will funnel background information to whoever ultimately want to submit a code change. Part of the code change process that we have for the Florida Building Code, cost analysis is part of that. So that's kind of normally comes in as part of the proposed code change. It will be looked at down the road.
Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
I have a comment on the development of the wing speed line maps. If I understood the rationale for that, we were piggybacking on a prior study and expanding it because the majority of the counties in the state of Florida don't have access to this. Given the modest amount of money for the study, it would seem to me that the PI should reach out to perhaps the BOAF or the League of Counties to fund that, since they're the ones who could be benefiting from it, and it, you know, it's a worthwhile study. Thank you.
Okay. Any other committee member have any thoughts? Okay. So Mo and Tom, it sounds like, you know, at some point, maybe not too distant future, it might be worth considering convening the committee to sort of discuss a range of potential topics and do some ranking in terms of what they would believe would be the priorities for not the specific projects, but the types of projects to fund, so that Mo can get that out, you know, to everybody, and PIs can be thinking about that in time for submittal for the next cycle. So sounds like that's what there's a lot of support for.
Sounds good.
Yeah. This is Mamadani. That's true. I think we do have a list of topics that was really presented to the committee during the this round of gathering potential research project. I think really maybe yes, we in terms of the future agendas and meeting, we try to focus on list of topics and then It would probably see which one the committee would like to see if such a project conducted on, so that we can contact the right people. Yeah, I think, and that's really, we'll start doing that early in the process. No doubt.
So maybe it would be good to add it to the work plan, your work plan too, you know, think about it.
Sure. We'll be a first step is to come up with the topics per se.
Right. All right. Any other committee member comments before I take any general public comment?
This is just implicit again. Just a general comment on the extreme rainfall projections project. I think it's just absolutely critical to make sure that the right players are on the team as far as that steering committee. I would advise the Florida Building Commission to make sure maybe there's some meetings up front in the kickoff meeting, et cetera. And there's some discussions to make sure that the right players are at the table, to make sure there's that goes back to if you're missing key players, you know, that project can go south pretty quickly, and or you don't get the right inputs and the right feedback and the right viewpoints to make sure that it's defensible. So I think it's critical to get the right players at the table for that project and on that review. So I just advise to make sure that there's some good discussions up front before major before they start going in the wrong direction, make sure the right players were at the table. That's all.
Yeah, John, this is Abhay. Can I say something, Mr. Blair?
Go ahead.
Yeah, John, I appreciate that comment. As the PI, I would appreciate an input on who those players should be so that I could make sure to include them in any kind of review panel or, you know, have an upfront kickoff meeting with them just to make sure we are addressing the right issues and questions. Thanks a lot for that input.
Sure. Okay. Any other committee member? Okay. Does any member of the public wish to comment before we do a closing roll call? Okay. Commissioner Schock, do you want to say anything before I do the closing roll call?
No, I have no further on.
Okay. Well, then, Commissioner Schock.
Yes.
Sergio Asunce.
Yes, here.
Joe Belcher.
Here.
Commissioner Compton.
Here.
Eric Stafford.
Here.
Mark Michelson.
Here.
Greg Perino.
Here.
John Plisich.
Here.
Commissioner Schiffer.
I'm on.
Jeffrey Schnellman.
Here.
Vin Seha.
Here.
And Commissioner Swope.
Here.
All right, we have the same 12 members we started with. Commissioner Schock, would you adjourn us, please, sir?
Hey, Jeff, just 1 minute, if it's okay to you. For the individuals who have research proposals that are really discussed here, I know that, as you know, the commission will take up these research projects tomorrow. So it will be beneficial if any of the individuals who propose these projects will call in case there is a clarification question or what have you from the commission on any of these projects. So please do so. Thank you.
Good point, Bo. Thanks. okay, Jim?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for participation. I know it takes out of their day, and it's appreciated by everyone. Thank you. And with that, I think we can have no further business. We can stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you all.